Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, listeners. And number one, it is happy Valentine's Day to all of you out there, to the community on Blog Talk Radio, my friends, my associates, and all of the contributors that are constantly and continuously coming through. And I will let you know that this call is going out nationally as well as internationally. So I welcome my guest on today's Power to Be You Empowerment Author Series. And it is February 14th, 2008. And I am Sandra Bueno, and I am the founder of Live and Learn Coaching Enterprises and the creator of the Power to Be You platform. For those of you who are joining me for the first time, Power to Be You, the purpose is to bring about awareness, accountability, and empowerment via distinctions, coaching, testimonies, as well as leadership from authors, visionaries, and contributors, people who are living their lives knowing that there is a contribution that they are bringing forth and that there is something different for all of us as a social family. And in my past shows, you, if you'd like to go on blogtalkradio.com/power to be you, that's POWER, the number 2 BEU, you can download the different archive segments that I've had with amazing guests, people who truly are walking the talk and bringing about their own distinction. So definitely go there. Also, for our call-in number today is 646-716-8620, and I do welcome your participation. It is often difficult to get both the callers and the guests, but today I am actually not going to be having a guest, as I wanted to take the opportunity to really bring awareness to something that is just, it is our essence. And that's why this show is entitled today, The Power of Love. And being that it is February, and for some reason, I do not know if this is destiny, if this is life, but every time there has been a significant holiday, my show has fallen on that holiday. And because of that holiday, that has become an anchor for me, where I really put myself at a spot of being transparent and really being real about what my ultimate message is with Blog Talk Radio, with the Power to Be You. So once again, this is Sandra Bueno, and today we are going to be discussing relationships, the purpose of relationships, and love, and truly what lies at the core. So I will be talking about who we are in spiritual form, our essence, our purpose, the gifts that we bring, and our ultimate creator, God. This is something that, to me, I feel that I am taking I am forcing myself to take a giant leap of openness to really reveal what's in my heart, what I know in the inside of my soul to be the purpose for why I am here. And I've found it in the past that it has been such a, for some reason, there is turmoil around that, there is confusion around that, there is fear around that. You know, as a human being, exposed to other people, exposed to doubt, exposed to apprehension, you know, it's the physical form always has that pull and carries that weight. But when you really go internally and you look at your soul and you look at your spirit and you communicate to God and you communicate to your essence of who you are as a human, all of a sudden you feel the difference. So I want to take today as an opportunity to really express that, share it with you, and also get your feedback. So for those of you who are online or who are on the phone, you can call in at 646-716-8620 in just a little while. Give me about 15 minutes to get into the conversation, into the topic, and then you could definitely come on. And I welcome your comments, and I love hearing from you. Also, you can write me at Live and Learn LLC. That's LiveandLearnLLC@gmail.com. Now, to begin, I have here the lyrics from Elton John's song. It's Elton John and Tim Rice. Tim Rice actually composed the lyrics. And most of you are familiar with this song, and as I recite the words, I don't be surprised if I start singing. Don't want to sing, but it's automatic. And this is The Circle of Life. And this song, I believe, is just so specific to our human condition. And I hope that it speaks to your heart as it has spoken to the many people that have heard the song. From the day we arrive on the planet and blinking, step into the sun, there's more to be seen that can ever be seen, more to do that can ever be done. Some say eat or be eaten. Some say live and let live. But all are agreed as they join the stampede. You should never take more than you give. In the circle of life is the wheel of fortune. It's the leap of faith. It's the band of hope. Till we find our place on the path unwinding. In the circle of life. Some of us fall by the wayside, and some of us soar to the stars. And some of us sail through our troubles, and some have to live with the scars. There's far too much to take in here, more to find that can ever be found. But the sun rolling high through the sapphire sky keeps great and small on the endless round. In the circle of life, it's the wheel of fortune. It's the leap of faith. It's the band of hope. Till we find our place on the path unwinding. In the circle of life. Why this song resonates within me, because it brings about our relationship with the world, our relationship with what we as human beings want for ourselves, outside of our everyday struggles and everyday problems, outside of those realistic things that happen to us day in and day out. I believe that this song really taps into our essence, and it supports the significance of what a relationship is. The purpose of a relationship is to magnify human emotion and experience. And where better can human emotion and experience manifest itself than when we are out there serving, giving to others, bringing life to others, inspiring others, uplifting spirits. Where else can that be than when you can look at someone and know that you've made a difference in their lives? Now, before we can get there, now this is where we're really going to start. Before we can get there, we need to have that relationship with ourselves. And that relationship with ourselves, I believe, is that one relationship that either makes us or breaks us. Because no matter what comes in our lives, no matter what person is there, no matter our partners, no matter our jobs, no matter the money that we make, if we are not in sync with who we truly inherently are, then we cannot appreciate, value, respect, guard, and then protect those things that bring us so much. And I will tell you that this area is so important because it is directly aligned to our spirit. It is aligned to our relationship with our Creator. It is aligned with that relationship that we have as a child of God, knowing that He has placed us here on this earth to be His ambassadors, to be His feet, His eyes, His hands, just like the Bible says it. And until we're able to embrace that with an open heart, an open mind, without guilt, without fear, which in all honesty is what I am doing right now, I am embracing that, I am voicing that. And when I find that to be such a strange feeling, to have to feel fear of that, fear of exposing oneself to say, this is what I believe in. You know, but why do I believe it? Why do I know it? Why is it that I can say it? And that's been my purpose all along. That is the purpose of Power to Be You. That is the purpose of every single thing that I've done. It is the purpose for the lessons. It is the purpose for continuation. It is the purpose for growth. That my awareness that I come from God and that God has equipped me with all these precious feelings and thoughts and abilities, He has made me whole. He has created me so that I could go out there and use that so that later on I could help others. And what I want to say to you is that I want to come to you, and if you're listening to me and you are a believer, and I thank you, I welcome you, my brother, my sister, because we know what it's like to live a life lost and a life found. And we know what it's like to live with God in our lives. You know, and it's what they have always said. It is not that your life is going to be void of trouble or of issues or of problems. Simply, those issues and problems become tolerable and easier to deal with. And I will tell you that my life magnifies that. My life just shows that. And I will share a specific example later on. But before that, I really want to bring about some information that I found here, which talks about, and this comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's not a specific verse, but it talks about love surpasses all spiritual gifts. And before I do that, I do want to read about love, what it says about love. A lot of you might have heard it, but it says, if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Then if you go down to 13:13, it says, three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And I will tell you, in all humility, that my life within the past 2 years, where I was reborn, I have lived a different calling with a different purpose and a different awareness. And within the past few months, since I got married, I made a commitment to God, and I made a commitment about my life and how I was going to purposely allow myself to have faith and believe in God's mission for me. And I will tell you that it's becoming easier and easier as I let go, as I let go of the control that I have. And it's becoming fun, and I'm becoming much lighter in my ways. And really, it is what I want to do today is just share this with you. Share this with you because for us to make a difference and contribute, those feelings come from the heart. And when you want to give and when you want to make a difference, you also have to be able to give to yourself, love yourself, and understand the why of who you are, the why of your purpose. And that cannot happen if you do not have a relationship with God. If you do not have a relationship, a personal relationship with Him, you do not see these things. And I will tell you, in my life, though I had a relationship with Him, I never had Him in my heart as I do now. And just, I'm going to share a situation that was very real, very real. And this is the proof. This is the proof that, you often list as believers want, because you say, well, show me, God. Show me where are you. Show me what it is to have faith in you. And I just feel so amazed by this. And, of course, I'm revealing more about myself here. But it is about being transparent. It is about being honest. It is about being loving. It is about speaking from truth. It is about speaking from the heart. It is not about condemning. And it is not about being judgmental. It is simply about extending my hand and saying, I want to help you. I have something to share with you that happened to me in my life. And this is how it happened. And this is the gift that I received. And this is how I did it. And what I want to share with you now is something that has been, that I've spoken about before, which is the financial difficulty that I underwent primarily because of my injury, having been on medical leave for the past 2.5 years almost now, and just believing in my mission and not really caring about the reality of the hardship that the financial situation caused, but really just saying, I have a purpose, I have a mission, and this is what I want to do, this is what I'm going to do, come rain, come hail, come high water, I do not care, this is where I'm going, I'm not going to allow this to kill me. Well, in the process, of course, I really, about 4 months ago, I finally hit a place in my financial life where I was unable to handle and juggle the credit cards. And basically, I had accumulated a certain amount of debt, and the debt was way beyond what I could handle, and I finally gave up after 2 years of meeting the monthly requirements, and I finally gave up, and I said, that's it, you know, you can't draw blood out of a stone, so this is all I can do, I can't do anymore, and it was harrowing having the creditors call me, and with my spirit, it's, you know, when all this is happening, you can't deny that energy is being robbed from you, the good energy, and bad energy is being put on you, and that's killing your spirit, it's killing your creativity, it's not allowing you to focus, it's really just hurting you everywhere in your body, your mind, your soul. So for me, I finally hit a place where I said, well, this is what the reality is, I can't, you know, I'm accountable to it, I am responsible toward it, but I also cannot do more of it, so I need to just give it up to God, I'm just going to give it up to God. And, of course, I said, okay, God, you know, I'm giving it up to you. Show yourself out. Well, as most of you will know, a few Thursdays ago in January, I resigned from the company that I worked for 17 years, the company through which I got injured. And when I made that decision, that was me throwing myself out there without a safety net. That was me saying, okay, I have to create my abundance, and I have to create my life. And what I am going to do is, in order to be able to take the 401k money, in order to pay this debt, I do need to retire. I need to separate myself from the company. So I did. I got the money. I was about 1/3 the amount of what I owed. Basically, the amount was $28,000. And I owed $60,000. And I said, okay, now I have to be a good steward. Now I have to manage the money correctly. Now God is entrusting me with this money. How am I going to use it? So what I have actually done is that now I have control over me, over my reactions, over my emotions, and over what happens with the creditors. And in the past few days, I began negotiating with them. And let me backtrack before I tell you what happened. A week and a half ago, at the campaign through my church at Christ Fellowship, which is, you can look it up online, it's gochristfellowship.com. You can also be a part of the service on Saturday and Sundays through your computer by streamlining it. And for those of you who are familiar with John Maxwell, he's one of the pastors there. They had a campaign, which was One Life, Making a Count. And they called for the tithing. And it took us about 3 or 4 weeks to get a lot of different services and the different lectures on what it meant to give and how we were going to contribute, etc. And what appealed to my heart was, okay, give this certain amount. And give the certain amount for the mission of what this outreach community is doing, which is amazing for the lives of children, for our community, for impacting just many, many lives globally. And I wrote out the check. I wrote out three times I had to redo the check, and I wrote out a check for, the initial one was for $10,000. And then I had to think about it, and all of a sudden I realized that I said, no, I think maybe I'm supposed to give $10,000 in the next 2 years. So I went back and I changed it to $5,000. So I gave I contributed that amount, knowing full well that I could have used that money for my debt. What helped me make that decision was because John Maxwell had said, God can do a lot more with our 10% than I can do with my 100%. And I put my trust and I put my faith in God. And now I get to yesterday. And yesterday I spoke with one of my creditors, through which I have two or three of my accounts. And we were able to negotiate a payoff amount of $23,000 for $6,500. In essence, I have paid $6,500 instead of paying $2,300, which is a savings of close to $17,000. And even the person that spoke to me on the phone, his voice was of God. His demeanor was of God. He was the most gentlest person I had ever come across from a credit standpoint. And I just felt blessed, and I felt that that was just so incredible and amazing. And I had to thank God because he spoke to my heart. He spoke to my soul. He spoke to my worry. He spoke to my condition. And in that area of my life, it has been such a hardship. But I have also prayed to him and said, please help me in this way. You know I want to be responsible. I do take accountability for this. I am aware of what this means. I am aware that this was also, a history of life. It was a history of growing up. It was a history of education. It was a history of investing in myself, in my own personal development, so that today I could stand here and say, I have a vision, I have a mission, I have a plan, and I want to contribute, and I'm going to help, and I am helping. So what it comes down to is that the more I seek him, the more I seek his grace, the better my life is. The better I feel about who I am, the better I feel about my soul, the lighter I feel about who I am, what I'm about, and the more I want to be in his presence. So for me, really, this call today is about bringing homage to God, for he has created us, and he has put that feeling of love in our hearts to be able to reach out to people who need us, to be able to feel the empathy for people who hurt, to be able to feel that we have something in our hearts and in our own being that others can use. And it doesn't have to be something big. It doesn't have to be money. It doesn't have to be multiple hours of your time. It can just simply be a smile. It could be a touch. It could be words of kindness. It could just be advice. It could be any type of contribution, but that's where it lies. It lies at the core of who we are as human beings, and it lies at the core of our ability to feel love, because God has showed us love first. That is, I really feel that that is the place. That is the place. You know, it's not about passing judgment, and it's not about criticizing. It's just about being able to look at our own abilities and know when we're not doing right, and know when we are not, when we're being hurtful, and know when we are not being, not in integrity with our spirit and our souls. And one thing that I want to read, which is where I began to before, says here under the Corinthians, the First Corinthians, it says, this passage gives one of the most complete descriptions of love in the Bible. More importantly, it shows that love needs to be the one thing in life we seek more than anything else. Without it, whatever we do or say really has no lasting value. Compare the love described here with the superficial love found in this world. Now, what I'd like to do is read this, and then I want to give my own interpretation of what the second section is, which is the interpretation of what the world says. And I think that this is where we need to be able to connect and bring a bridge of understanding in our society, because people get hung up on the words, people get hung up on labels, people get hung up on dogma, and they miss the point of what love is, of what God is, of what purpose is, which I think at the end, if your purpose is to serve others and to do good and to share love and to love upon others, then that's it. Then you're fulfilling your mission. I really think that's it. Doesn't matter, you know, you can be blind, and love has no color. Love has, I mean, the only color that we know is red. But as far as people, love has no color. It has no one language. Love is not just one way. And love is not, it's not a noun. It's just a word, a four-letter word. Love is action. Love is spirit. Love is doing. Love is reaching out. It is giving. It is sharing. Love is shown when we're able to take something away from ourselves to help another. And love is shown when we can do that for ourselves. Love is shown when we can actually look at ourselves and love ourselves for who we are, for what we've done, for where we've been, for the good and the bad that has happened in our lives. And then we show love when we don't hold ourselves back, when we love ourselves, and when we are able to allow ourselves to move forward despite the pain, despite the grief, and despite the quote-unquote mistakes. I've said it before, we are on a journey. That is the journey. It is the color. Before you can see the sunshine, you have to see the rain. Before the rainbow comes out, there has to be rain. How would you know if you're smiling, if you never frowned? Now, how would you know what happiness is if you've never been sad? These are human emotions. These are normal. This is the normalcy of who we are as human beings. But we don't have to stay in human form. We can tap into who we are as spirits. And spirits, we are way higher than who we are on the physical plane. And with that awareness, we have to realize, just like Mark Tombeck said on Spiriting Around, and download that on my previous archive shows. He spoke of spirituality and of God and our essence as people. Our purpose is love. And when we find that, and when we give that, when we bring that into our lives take such a different form. Everyone wants that. We all want to be loved. We all want someone to love us. We want to be told that we're great, that we're beautiful, that we're funny. You know, we're human beings. Spirits in human form. Having a human experience. Not the opposite. So to begin, here is the first of these points. God says love should be directed toward others. The world says love should be directed toward ourselves. Now, I would say that, yes, love should be directed toward others. However, If we don't direct it toward ourselves, then where are we not honoring who we are? And then the other question shines, which is, well, if we aren't giving to God ourselves and who we are, then God would bring that love onto us, thus filling the void that would have been felt. So you see, it completes the circle of life. You give to others, God gives to you because you're giving to God. Now, if you leave God out of it and all you're doing is giving to others, then you're not going to feel that grace that God will give you. 2, God says love is patient and kind. The world says love satisfies your immediate needs. I will tell you from personal experience that love, to love others, especially in intimate relationships, is very challenging. To be patient and kind requires a high degree of emotional IQ, emotional awareness. Because we are, deep down inside, looking to satisfy our needs. We are looking to satisfy the needs that we have of certainty, of significance, of growth, contribution, uncertainty. If those needs are not met, we will not be patient and kind. We will lash out. We will go into our own corner. We will go into a place where all of a sudden we clamor up, or where we're angry, or where we are on a reactive mode. Now, the world says that love satisfies your immediate needs. That would be a very topical love. That's the type of love that you think is love and it's not really love. That happens, I believe, in many of the relationships of today. The relationships where you say somebody invites you to a wedding and you almost don't go because you really think that down the line, 5 years from now, they're no longer going to be married. It happened to me yesterday at a meeting where they asked how many people have been here married the longest, and 2 people raised their hands, and one lady was married 41 years and another one was married 39 years. And somebody said 20 years. Now, for me, in my generation, I said, yeah, that would probably be the target point. If I can stay married 20 years, woof, that's a major benchmark. That is amazing. If we can, at our age, say, in the year 2008, say, you know what? I'm going for 20. Wow. Thank God. And I will tell you, without God in that relationship, that will not happen. Because I've been there. I've seen it. I'm living it now. That proof is happening to me right now, where if it were not for God, if it were not because I've sought Him, because I've prayed to Him, because I cried to Him, because I brought people in, because I connected to other people, because I went to church, because I contributed, because I wake up and I go to sleep with Him in my mind, with God, what His purpose is in my life, what it is that I'm supposed to be doing for Him in every which way, then He would not... I would have been the mess that I've been, or I would have been selfish, and I would have just thought about, well, what's not happening in my world, and you know what, this is not what I really want, and I'm not willing to stay here, and this is not, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I tell you, he helps you to really get to a place in your life where you are humble, or where you at least have patience and kindness, where you can actually tap into that and know what it feels like, and recognize that there's a plan in all of this. That there's a place that He wants us to be at, and it may not be the way and at the speed with which we want to take it. So when it says that the world says love means that love satisfies your immediate needs, that's the cheap type of love. That's the store purchase love. That's the love that comes in the box of chocolates that somebody picks up on their way home. You know, put some more thought into what you're doing and why you're doing it. Put thought into the meaning of why you are giving a gift, of why you're buying flowers. Is it because you have to, Or is it truly because you want to? And maybe rather than buying flowers for that person in your life, maybe buy flowers and go put it at the altar in the church by where you live with your significant other. And maybe together make a prayer so that God can come into your life and bestow blessings with health and continuation and understanding and peace and awareness of your gifts. It's about love. It's about love. And love requires you to make sacrifices. Those sacrifices usually are not on our first tier of willing things to give up. Again, I can tell you because I am there, because I have been there. It's an everyday process. It's an everyday continuation. It is like I'm holding on by a lifeline that I don't want to let go, because now I see the light, and I see the light with God at my side. I see the light with Him at my side to deal and to get and remove myself from situations that don't benefit me, from situations that disempower me, from situations where I am fearful or where I am doubtful or where I do not feel that I can contribute or grow into. He's there to support it all. He's there to bring great people into my life and to remove people who might not be positive contributors in the greater scheme of things. This is why they say there's a plan and there's a purpose and there's a reason why all of this is happening. And unless you miss the bigger purpose, then you're not a participant. You're not a willing participant. How many of you have heard the cliches? What doesn't kill you only makes you stronger. That's one of them. You know, God will hit you over the head, or initially He'll start with a little nail file, then He'll continue with a knife, then He'll continue with the hatchet, then eventually He's going to bring the bulldozer and knock us down if we don't get the message. Believe me, I've been there. I got knocked down. I got physically knocked down after 17 years of working as a flight attendant. Had I not been injured, I would still be there, wishing for that dream to manifest in my life, traveling the world, caring about what was that party over there? Oof, what's that fashion show over here? What's that great restaurant over there? I would have been wasting my abilities and my life and my purpose simply because I love to travel, because that's where my spirit lies. And that was not supposed to happen. So what happened? I got injured 5 times. Not once, not twice, 5 times. And the last time that I got injured, it was enough to knock me off course permanently. And I was, thank God, I was able, in my relationship with Him, which was still not Stephen, I was still able to realize and recognize that this was a blessing from God, so that I would finally put myself down on the ground, stay behind a desk, organize myself, recognize that there was a higher purpose for me, and truly allow myself to see the calling, to invest myself in that. And I did. And it wasn't easy. But you know what? It was doable. Why? Because I prayed to God. Because I asked Him to help me. Because I said, please, Lord, give me the strength. Give me the strength to be able to understand. Give me the strength to see. Give me the strength to follow my purpose and my dreams. I believe in You. I have faith in You. So please, come to me. And I will tell you that during these 2 years of hardship, prior to a few months back, when the situation was really difficult, when I had to pay my mortgage, when I had to take care of my son as a single parent, when I had to be responsible to my family because we had bought a home together and they are older and they do not have the capacity and faith that I do, that I live with. For them, most specifically my mother, she is old school and will worry over anything. And if the money is not there, then that's it. Everything's, hell's breaking out. For me, that situation was difficult. I will tell you, it was heart-wrenching. It was a struggle, but I was able to do it in a way that I didn't get burned. I always say that God has protected me. He's put a safety net underneath me and, you know, over the fire. And I kind of smell a little bit of the burnt skin, but he saved me from getting burned. And this is how it's been. But I'll tell you, one day specifically, I did not have the money to pay the rent. And it was the one day, or the mortgage, when it was the one day that I broke down. I ended up with a migraine headache, and I cried to God. And I said, God, you said that if we believe in you, you will be there. And I said, how am I going to take this money? How do I pay? What do I do? And I believe 2 or 3 days later, the matter was resolved. You know, and it was like, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for coming out. Thank you. You know, and those are the elements of faith. That's where you come and you start saying, yes, he is there, and he humbles you, and he makes you feel that without him, you can move forward. And as much as you start seeing him in your life, then you start feeling that warmth and that connection. And you start realizing that you don't want to be without him. Now let's continue with the next one. God says love is never jealous or envious. The world says love means that you deserve the best. How does that first sentence lie with you? God says love is never jealous or envious. How difficult is that for us in one way or the other? One way or the other, we will all feel jealousy or envy. If our needs are not being met, if we are missing something in our lives, if our relationships aren't where they need to be, if the people who we are with are not the right people for our lives, for our values, for our beliefs, there will be those elements. And how do you deal with them? How do you deal when you are a loving person and you are in a relationship and you don't trust your mate because your mate lies to you or because your mate does not have the integrity that you have? As much as you, I heard a story of a girlfriend. She's a single parent with 2 children who met a man. This man happens to be a car salesman. This man is now living with her in her home. This friend found a text message on his phone where he had sent a message to another woman speaking of flowers and saying other things, other sentences of love and that pretty much showed they are in a relationship. But the friend is blinded. She questioned her own capacity of interpreting those sentences as fact. She has children. She's a single parent. She's paying for the home. He's not contributing. What is a grown man doing there who does not have the integrity to be truthful with himself, much less a woman who has children, who's believing in him, who has been burned through past? We can look at that both ways because it's not just the man, it is also her ability, her awareness. But keep in mind, she is a practicing Christian. She's someone who practices the faith. So there comes a place in our lives where we really need to be able to be honest with ourselves and realize that it takes action. Faith and belief in God, that's part of our spirituality. But God also says, you know, work yourself in other places. I've told people, look, I was actually questioned when I brought personal development to my church, to the youth group that I was working with, because immediately it was that world view of personal development, believing in yourself. What is that? That's not really of God. Excuse me. Yes, it is of God, because God has made us in his image. God speaks of kings and queens. Who are we in his image, if not the best? If we are not the best of who we can be, then we are negating the gift that God has given us. If we are not the best, then we are basically spitting back at God. There are so many people in the world who are suffering, who do not have what we have. who are unable to do what we can do, to run, to walk, to speak, to eat, to see. Yet we are. So why aren't we using all that? Why are we wallowing in our pain or in our sorrow or in our mistakes or in our challenges? Why? Well, we need to seek God and say, God, help me. Help me deal with this. Help me step out of this area. Help me step out of darkness. You know, when you look at it, it's not a mystery, but yet our mind gets in the way to understand that here we have someone that we can go to. Here we have an invisible source that is a form of energy, a form of life, a form of abundance and magic. But yet we deny ourselves that right. It's a God-given right. I find that mind-boggling. But going back to this statement, now the other side says, the world says love means that you deserve the best. I believe that I deserve what God has for me. And because God, I put God at such a high place in life, I believe that He wants the best for us. Otherwise, He would not have given us this earth. He would not have given us the millions of flowers, the scents, the feelings that we're able to have, the gift of loving, the gift of life, the gift of joy. You know, we choose what we want to focus on. So if we're focusing on evil and violence and corruption and injustice, which is all there, but if we focus on that, then we become part of that, and we rob ourselves of the opportunity for us to be a contributor to the other side of the equation, which is for us to be able to use our resources and our God-given talents and our God-given rights and our beauty and the best part of who we are to make this a better place, to be a part of the solution, not the problem, to bring about who we are as people, as creators. Look at Mozart, look at Beethoven. Look at all the people that we know and who we know. Look at Einstein. Look at these people. All of these people have regarded God as their source. They have all, even atheist leaders, at one point became aware that God was the source. We don't see God. Yet we see God manifest all around us. We see Him in those seeds. We see Him in those little flowers that are hidden in some corner bush that to the regular eye you wouldn't even think twice, but when you approach it and when you pull it out and you look inside and you see the intricate delicacy of it, you are just floored. And the farther you look inside, the more magnificent it becomes. What is love if not that? Is it that box of chocolates? Is it that going out to dinner, sitting there looking at the person across you and just saying, yeah, hi, okay, how was your day, okay, good, all right. You know, that's not love. That is not love. That's that the world love that people talk about, which is buy perfumes, buy jewelry, buy this, give the gift of love. You know, give the gift of your card so then you could get in debt and then have hardship in life and then not be able to really do the things that you want to do that make you happy. Again, been there and done that. Lived it, not going back there again. Learn the lesson, live and learn. Why do you guys think my company is called Live and Learn? Live and Learn Enterprises. I've lived and I've learned. And if I don't learn, God's going to put me back on the lesson, and I don't want to be there. So that's why I ask God, please help me. Don't take me back there. Let me learn the lesson. What is the lesson in here? What is the gift? Now let's move to the next, which is God says love is never boastful or proud. The world says love isn't necessary to make people respect you. Being boastful or proud, the arrogance behind that. And sometimes our ego gets in the way, our ego in our minds, and sometimes we justify what we do, what we say, why we do it. And when we're connected to God, that spirit inside us, right there in our heart, it's like a ringer. The minute it touches that certain chord, it's like ring, ring, you're touching it, get off it. And when people talk of intuition and the sixth sense, our subconscious, that's what it is. It's the seat of the soul, it's where God resides. It's God speaking to us. We know when we're not doing right. We know when we're doing wrong. We know when we're being greedy. We know when we're being boastful. We know when we're being proud. I've been there myself too. But it's about being there, being able to remove yourself from there. It's about being able to go to people and say, you know what, I've done that and I am sorry. It's about understanding when we need to let go. It's about realizing that, you know what, sometimes you just have to let that take over. And that's where transparency and truth, spirit, and your relationship with God is so evident. Because if God knows, obviously God knows what we're doing, what we're feeling, what we say, what we think. But when we, in our minds, allows us to do right by Him, then in moments of uncertainty or moments of doubt or moments when we make mistakes or when we hurt someone inadvertently, then we're able to come to God in humility and say, Lord God, you know what I was feeling in my heart. It was never my intention to hurt this person. No, and that's when we are sharing love with ourselves. And that's when we also recognize our human form. So we recognize, this is what the Bible talks about, being a sinner. You know, I myself don't care for that word. I don't like labels. And I do not like being tagged, you know, within a description of how something is. But if you really look at our human condition and our human family, like John Maxwell says, we are part of the human family. We came as sinners and we are sinners. Yes, it is. We sin all the time. You know, if we could be perfect, if we could be good, if we could be kind, if we could be patient, if we could be loving, if we could always turn the cheek, then we would be saints, but none of us are. And that puts us back again, the circle of life. Go back to the beginning of time. Go back to the Bible. Who are we? Why did we come here? What is our mission? What is our purpose? What is our journey? When are we saved? Where is our final resting place? What is heaven? You know, what is hell? Why are we on earth? All these things truly take their place around understanding and having that relationship with God, which only you can choose. Your relationship with God is probably different than mine, but at the end of the day, your relationship with Him should be and will be about love and uncovering who you are as a spiritual being, your ultimate purpose, your gifts. That's where we can let go of anything and say, okay, I'm just going to be light. I'm going to take myself lightly. Now, the other side of this, as the world says, love isn't necessary to make people respect you. Respect is something that is earned. And respect doesn't come from love alone. But this is where having values, knowing what your values are, that makes this statement easier to understand. Because you have to understand what you respect in order also to understand what others respect from you. And respect is a two-way street. If you respect yourself, you'll do certain things and you will not allow certain things to be done unto you. You know? Again, it's about not throwing glass if you live in a glass. Not throwing bricks or rocks if you live in a glass house. Respect others as you wish to be respected. And this is so evident in relationships. Who we are in relationships. How we treat our mates, how our mates treat us, how we allow them to treat us, how we teach others to treat us. But before we can teach others, we got to teach ourselves. How do we treat ourselves? And again, it goes down to love, loving ourselves. Now, we actually have 5 more, and we have 4 minutes, so I'm going to try to wrap this into like a quick 3-minute explanation. But God says love is never rude. The world says love lets you act as you please. See, this is in itself. It says what it is. Love is never rude. And when we are rude, we feel it. That ringer goes off. Your heart knows it. That's when you have to step back and go back to that person, go back to the situation and say, I am sorry. I was being rude. Please forgive me. And forgive yourself. And, you know, the world says love lets you act as you please. I don't even want to go into that because I don't even agree with that statement. You know, love doesn't say you have to act as you please. Someone else says that. I thought of a company, but anyway, we'll just let that one go. God says love does not demand its own way. The world says love gets in the way of what's in it for me. Love does not demand its own way. That is very true. I have a very defining story in my life of having met my soulmate when I was 18 years old. And my soulmate and I recently met again 20 years later. And as I told you before, I am married. And I was able to see through personal development and coaching exercises what is called past life regression, where you can see how a situation that took place in your life, you can see beforehand what took place, and then you're able to make an assessment and awareness of why things happened the way they did. And for me, I understood that a soulmate is that. It's soulmate. Maybe it's not for this earth. Maybe it's not for, you know, souls you go out into life and your purpose is to join with different people and to make different things happen. And this relationship was very important in my life. But I will tell you that as much as I loved this relationship with this person, it wasn't right, and I had to not be a part of it, and I had to let go. And it was when that adage when they say, if you love something, set it free. If it comes back, love it forever. And if it doesn't, it was never meant to be yours. That's what I had to do. And the only thing that helped me was knowing that God was there, knowing that God knew what was in my heart, and knowing that my intention was to do good, to love and to honor, not to cheat, not to betray, not to be a part of an issue or a problem. And today I am married, and I'm very happily married to a partner who is an incredible individual, an amazing soul. And he's an amazing person that God has placed in my life. So to continue with 1 minute to go, I will say, love, God says love rejoices in justice and truth. The world says love understands, even ignores evil. If you are about God, you are about justice and truth. You don't walk away. If you walk away, then obviously that's a good step, because now at least you're taking care of yourself up to a certain point. But evading and avoiding doesn't make things right. It doesn't make things right for you, for your heart, for your soul, for who you are. So trust in God. Place your faith in Him. Love Him, because you will find that love within yourself. So in closing, I would just say that it has been a sincere pleasure bringing this part of Power to Be You to you. And I bless you. I just hope that you are able to join me in this movement to inspire, to motivate, to encourage, and to bring out the best of people. So in closing, more power to be you. Happy Valentine's Day.
Love Talk Radio.